Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory, is the doxology. And the word for doxology is praise. God wants us to end the Lord's Prayer by praising Him that He has a kingdom in which, thank God, I'm in it. Is that not praise enough to know your eternal future is secure? It doesn't matter what happens to you. You are guaranteed. You know, when you buy a TV at, I can't think of the shop. Abel always likes to go into it because I think it's the dearest. John Lewis's. They say, oh, we will give you a 5-year guarantee. Hallelujah, I've got an eternal guarantee. An eternal guarantee. And there's no little fine print either. Have you ever noticed when you ring these people up? Oh, that doesn't come under the covenant of the insurance. Never saw that. Did you not read the third line? No, I didn't have a pair of binoculars 50 by 50. Because they're always under. The print's like that, isn't it? You don't qualify. Hallelujah, I qualify for all the benefits of God's kingdom. There's no small print. Amen. 100% guaranteed. So that should bring us into praise. Now we talked about God's kingdom. Now we finish about God's power. We say, thine is the power. And what we're actually saying is that He is able to maintain and support His kingdom because of the power in which He has. Hallelujah. It's not good having a kingdom if you can't support the kingdom. So many rulers would take over a kingdom, but they don't last. Somebody else comes and takes their kingdom. But we are in a kingdom which our God is able to keep by His power. And His power is in the blood of Jesus. We sing it, don't we? There's power, power, wonder working in the blood of Jesus. Do you know it's going to keep you? It's going to secure you till you get to eternity. There's power in the blood of Jesus. I want to thank God and praise Him today. His kingdom cannot wane, nor can it be overtaken, because He's all powerful. He is the all omnipotent God this morning. Do you know that? He's the all omnipotent God this morning. He's all powerful. And we want to talk about this wonderful power this morning that is able to maintain His wonderful kingdom. His wonderful kingdom. Psalm 62 verse 11. God has spoken plainly and I have heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to You. I believe David heard this from God Himself. I believe as David was sitting in the wilderness meditating, I believe God dropped through His Holy Spirit this verse. David, I have spoken thee plain. I have heard it many times, says David. Because David was a man after God's own heart. He was in conversation with God. And trust me, if you're in conversation and prayer and communication with God, you will know the power of a risen God. And David knew the power. Moses knew the power of God. He said to the children of Israel, stand still, because today the God is going to part the Red Sea and you will see these children of Egypt no more. And the power of God opened up the Red Sea and they crossed. And God throughout the Old Testament showed us His wonder, working mighty power. But He did it in the New Testament too. What is Ephesians 1? 19, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead, seats Him in the place of honor at God's right hand. Do you know this morning, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead sits in you this morning? The same power. Hallelujah. Somebody says, you've got power. I've got power. What kind of power? Power that raises the dead. Power that sits God's Son at His right hand. Authority on high. We've been doing a verse for the children. Remember, we even tried to teach them it. Remember? And may you have the power to understand as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep His love is. Let's try it together, because Caroline's saying, let's all stand up and do that. Okay, Caroline, let's stand up and do that. Let's come on. Let's proclaim that we've got God's power this morning. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep His love is. Now then, if we've been to the children, we would say, great children, let's do this one more time, but we won't. But what a great way to teach the children verses. Go in there and ask our children now, they'll be able to tell you that verse by the actions. Because I want to tell you something, friend. God's shown His power by His actions. He doesn't talk a good talk. God walks a good walk. Hallelujah. And what's Paul's greatest desire for you this morning? That you have the power to understand all that God has for you. Brothers and sisters, if you knew the love of God for you, if you knew how much He adored you, if you knew how much He cares for you, how much He sees your tears when you're in pain, how much He sees your loneliness, how much He sees your heartache. David said He bottles everything. All my tears He has gathered in His bottle. David was in a lovely illustration. I want to tell you, God wants you to know and to understand that He knows all that goes on about us. And He wants us also to understand the power that lives inside us today. What a power we have this morning, friends. That's why He says, finish off with praise. Praise God that He has a kingdom that you are going not only to enjoy now, but in eternity. But friends, not only has He got a kingdom, He's got the power to maintain that kingdom. In Jesus' name. Oh, do you know Jesus is your Savior this morning? Seriously, do you know Jesus? Do you know that wonder working power this morning in your life? I'm sure you do, because you knew that once you used to go this way, now you go that way. Everyone, I'm sure, could give a testimony of the power of God. Some can give it in healing. Some can give it in provision. Some can just say, well, listen, 6 months ago, I used to do that, but God has so changed my life. That's the power of God. That is the power that worketh in us. And I want to tell you, it's working in us. In us. In us. Hallelujah. God's power works in us and through us. In the name of Jesus. Oh, what a power. What a wonder working power. Alan Redpath. We've been taking his book. Alan Redpath says this: therefore, when we pray, thine is the power and the glory. We know that no darkness or disaster or catastrophe in the world's affairs can ever affect the eternal power of God. Of God. That was just to say, well, you're all awake. Isn't it wonderful, though? Nothing, nothing in this world can do what it wants. This world can change His laws. This world can be anti-God. This world can be this, that, but God still reigns. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth His successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. Oh, friend, you want to remind yourself of that. His kingdom never ends. He's still in control of everything that goes on. No power can touch His omnipotence. No human vain glory can ever match the glory of our God. God's path have always been invisible. God's steps has always been silent. No human ear can hear His voice. No power is such that He could bring 12 legions to His aid if He wished. His power sent the ravens to feed a tired, lonely servant of God. You remember Elijah? Worn out and weary. So God sent a little bird to feed him. The invincible power of God surely moves in the hearts of men. And all the power and all the glory are, let's say it, all the power and all the glory are His. Oh, friend, I hope you get this morning. What did Peter say at the gate? Beautiful. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have in the name of. What happened to that man? He got up and walked. And when the people start staring, Peter said, listen, why do you think it's by us? Why stare as though we have made this man walk by our own power or godliness? Peter recognized the power that came from God. Peter recognized that no human being would ever be able to raise someone and heal him, but it's the power of an almighty God. Peter wanted to declare to the world that his God is all powerful, all omnipotent. Friend, it does. Wonderful man, he's going to be at the Bible conference this year. I can't think of his name, right? I can. R.T. Kendall. Says this every morning. R.T. Kendall, as he wakes up, says this every single morning of his life. No wonder you can't believe, for you gladly honor each other, but you don't care about the honor that comes from the one who alone is God. And he says, do you know why I say that? He says, I say that every morning. Every morning. To remind myself that R.D. Kendall can do nothing without God. And he's one of the mightiest men of God. He's a wonderful Christian brother. If you read his books, you'll be thrilled. But you see, R.T. Kendall doesn't want to give any glory or praise or honor to himself. And every day he reminds himself, listen, if anything good comes today, it will be because of him. And that was a problem with the Pharisees, and we'll go on with that just now. But do you know, during the Welsh Revival in 1904, such was the power of God on Wales that pubs just shut down. They just closed. And there was one man, a true story, his wife got converted. And he kept going to the meeting, and he said, listen, I'm tired of coming home on a Sunday, and no dinner there for me. And I'm tired of you coming to this meeting. I'm going to put a stop to this. And he went to the local mining church. Oh. And the place was packed. It's a true story. So packed out, he had to force his way just to get into the lobby way. But he gets himself in the lobby way, and he wants to stop this preaching going on. And so he put somebody aside, and I don't know whether you know, but Church of England don't have nice comfortable seats like this. They don't make you drop off to sleep. They have these benches. Do you remember the long benches? And what he did, he stood on top of the bench, on the thin ledge on top of the bench, doing this to try if he could see the speaker. And suddenly the power of God hit him, and he went from one row to the other row, standing on the top, till he got right to the front, fell on his face, and was saved and baptized the same day. It is a true story. See, when the power of God hits you, there ain't nothing you can do about it. But you see, Elijah outrun a chariot because the power of God was in him. Oh, praise God this morning. The power of God is in you and through you this morning. Through you. But I will keep on hoping for your help. I will praise you more and more. Why will I praise you more and more, God? Because when I need help, I've got a God who I can go to. A God whose power is so effectual. That's the God I've got this morning. I don't go to a God, you see, and you don't say, God, I think you can do this. No, that displeases God. You go to a God who says, you are able. You are able. The word for glory, I don't know whether we have it here. Let's hope we do. Well, no, we haven't. The word for glory is the word doxa, from which we get doxology. And which we've said is praise. And God wants us to praise him for his glory this morning. And that's why he finishes, as we're going to this morning. That is why we finish with the word amen. What we're saying is, thine is the kingdom. God, you have created such a great kingdom through the blood of your Jesus. Father, you have got the power to keep that kingdom. I just want to glory your name. I want to glorify you, Jesus. I want to glorify you that I've been in the kingdom. And glorification means that we will live a life that God will be so pleased with. It's not singing songs on a Sunday morning. That is part of it. Today was a great glorification. I hope that people outside heard this morning how we worship God. It's part. But Jesus is more interested in what we do in Monday through the rest of the week. Do we glorify God? Jesus said, I have glorified you, Father. Would you glorify me? And the Father said yes. Because Jesus glorified His Father. And the only reason He glorified His Father, because He said, I do that which the Father has sent me. And if we live a life which is pleasing to God, then God will be praised. God will be glorified. The dark people will see it in the heavenly spiritual battles. They will see it. Satan saw Job, how righteous he was. And the Bible says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And all he went through, he always maintained the glory of God. And Satan buffeted him and buffeted him and buffeted him. But Job maintained the glory of God. Friend, God's not asking us to do the impossible. He's only asking us to surrender each day to Him. Do we imitate Jesus Christ? I preached a sermon many years ago called WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? That every time that we go into a situation, that's the first thing we ask ourselves, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And so we come to Amen. We find this first of all in Deuteronomy. Well, we don't find it first of all, but it is used in Deuteronomy 27 verse 6. It said, when all the people had said Amen, after Moses' blessing and cursing. Moses gave a wonderful doctrinal, and the people said Amen. Let that be exactly as you said. Now what was what he said? What Moses said was this, if you look and serve Jesus, He will bless you. If you turn away from Jesus, He will curse you. Today you've got to choose whether you want blessing or whether you want cursing. Your choice. God says He will give you blessing if you will stick to Him. God says the moment you turn your eyes up Jesus and you walk your own way, then God can only curse. And all the people shouted, and they said, let that be. Now they made a covenant with God by saying that. And when we say Amen, we are actually saying to God, we agree with you, God, let it be whatever you say. And I want to tell you, I believe that verse is spiritually for you today. I believe that God will bless us and prosper us when we keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus. But I believe we cannot expect God's fullest blessing if we are wandering away from God, if we are doing our own thing. Because this is what I wanted to finish on. That was the problem with the Pharisees. God said, you don't want, Jesus said, they don't want to give me glory. They don't want to give me any honor. They don't want to give me any praise. And if you read the chapter that we are doing in the Lord's Prayer, just before he talks about the Lord's Prayer, he's having to go with the Pharisees. He's saying every time they pray aloud. They want everybody to hear them. They walk down the street shouting aloud, praying to God. Oh, what a wonderful prayer he made. Ian read this morning from the scriptures as we're in the porter cabin about the Pharisee who says, I thank you, I'm not like Peter. I do this and I do that. There's no glory nor honor. God said, listen, when you pray, go to a nice quiet place. Shut the door. Get on your knees if you like being on your knees and pray to God. And give him the praise and the glory. God has no issue with you and I quietly going before God. He has a mega issue with people who want to pray because everybody else wants to pray. And it's the same in our prayer meeting. If we are praying because we really want God to do something, God will honor. But if we pray so that everybody else can hear our fancy Oxford Dictionary words, then there's no honor, no glory to God. God would rather hear you say three words from the heart than 30,000 words which come to esteem. God said the second thing about fasting. He said to them, when you fast, don't be like the Pharisees. They walk around all day like this. Oh. Everyone knew they were fasting. He said, when you fast, smile. But he said, if you fast, Eddie, smile. Don't put a pretense on. Don't let the world know that you've got a serious issue before God. God knows you've got a serious issue. Give him the glory, the honor, the praise. And the third thing he said about was giving. He said the problem with you Pharisees is, not only do you want everyone to hear you pray, not only do you want everybody to know you're fasting, but you're giving. You want to throw it all out where everybody can see it. God says, when you give it to God. You don't let anybody else know how much you're giving. That doesn't mean to say you can't stop writing your checks now to Rob so Rob can see it. That's not what we're saying at all, because what we're saying is this. You might give, Rob, which I do. First thing that happens every month is my bank balance goes straight into the offering. It's a principle I'd learned ever since I had a bank book, that the first thing I do is honour my father. And some money goes straight into into the church's account. Now, Rob will look at that check and think, wow, is that all he's given? No, but that isn't telling Rob how much I've given. That just lets Rob know I've given that to the church. I may be giving it to loads of other people. Do you hear what I'm saying? Rob doesn't think to himself every time he looks at my check, that's the only thing I'm giving God. That's between me and God. And I give God to other people and to other places, and nobody knows. Well, my wife does. But what I'm saying to you is this. What God was on about is not that someone knows how much you give. It's the heart in which you give. And the Pharisees just wanted everybody to know how big they were. God said, there's a widow over here putting two mites in. The principle is, she's not letting the world know. She was probably ashamed. She was just probably dropping it into the plate. But God said she was justified. What I'm saying to you this morning as we close, you can't say, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, unless Jesus Christ is receiving all the glory. Tomorrow if you work, you please your boss because you want to climb up the ladder. That might be okay, but that doesn't praise God. If you go to work and say, God, I'm going to worship you today by being acceptable to my boss. I'm going to go to work today that I might praise and honor your name. I'm going to give you glory just by the way I live my life. God is more happy with that statement. God is not after pretense. He knows us through and through. And that's why I'm saying, to give God nothing is an insult, I believe, to God. Now, I'm not preaching on the 10%. That's not my preaching at all. I'm just saying this. There's something wrong with our hearts when God is worth nothing. When God is worth nothing. He who spared not his own son, but freely give him up. I want to tell you, it cost Jesus Christ everything to die for you. How much is he worth? How much do we want to honor his name? An amen has three connotations. The first is expressed in the belief that God is able to do our prayers if it's in line with the will of God. And what I'm saying, when you get your book and you start going through the Lord's Prayer and you get to the end of this bit, just think about what you've prayed. Because whatever you've prayed, you are saying is in the will of God. Because that's what amen means. So be it, Lord. Whatever I prayed, Lord, let that be. So if I prayed selfishness, I don't believe that's praying in the will of God. Take a moment or two when you get your book. And when it comes to thine is the kingdom, thine is the glory, thine is the power, amen. Look at that word amen and flick back through the passages of what you've just been prayed for. And ask yourself, can I actually say amen to that? Is that in line with the will of God? Secondly, though, it expresses faith and conviction that your heavenly Father has heard. When you come to the end of the Lord's Prayer and what you're doing, what you are saying is, listen, I firmly believe, God, the prayer I've just spent in the last 10 minutes, you have heard. And I am convicted that you will do as I've requested. I want to tell you just before we go. Noah, when God said to Noah, I want you to build an ark, he didn't know such a thing as rain. Well, because God said it, his faith said, God, amen, so be it. You've asked me to build an ark, so be it. I will build an ark simply on the faith that it's going to rain. But if that's all he'd done, then his faith would have been pointless. He had to be convicted, so he went to B&Q and he got the timber. And he was over 60 when he built this, so he also had a discount card. I've got one. You got one, Peter, for B&Q? Oh! Where was I? B&Q, oh yes. Yeah, I'm at the cash out. I'm at the cash point. No! Noah said, I believe God that it's going to rain. I'm going to go and get the material. And I'm going to build an ark. You see, faith has to be coupled with conviction. Abraham said, I'm going to sacrifice my son, even though if I kill him, that's the end of my heritage. But I've got great belief that God can do something. So when God said to Abraham, go kill your son, he just said, so be it. Amen. So be it. Because I believe in God. I want to ask you, at the end of every prayer, do you firmly in faith believe and are convicted that what you've just prayed for, God is able to do? Or is it because I need to have a prayer time because that's the only way I'm going to grow in God? It is, by the way. It's one of the ways to grow in God. But the more important thing is, do we believe in what we're praying for? I believe when I first came here that God wanted to build his church, and we've seen it today in an action. I believe God wants to take us into a bigger place. I believe God says the best is yet to come. I believe, and I'm convicted, that God has brought me into this place for such a time as this. Do you believe you're in this church for such a time and place as this? And thirdly, it expresses my belief that the Heavenly Father has the ability to meet the needs of my request. That's what we mean by amen. So when you pray the family prayer, ask yourself, is his name hallowed in my life? Is it? Is God's name hallowed in your life? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Is it hallowed in your life? Or is Jesus still a swear? I still hear Christians shout, oh my God. And something worship. I cringe when I hear it, by the way. I believe my God's name should never be used in blasphemy. I believe his name is hallowed. I believe his name is wonderful and pure and gorgeous. I believe the only time I should use his wonderful name is to give him glory and praise. Is God having his will and way with me? Is he? Thy kingdom come, thy provide for me my daily provision. Well, therefore, are you diligent at work? I believe that, you know, I believe every human being should work. I'm serious. There are some people who can't work because of illness. We understand that. There are some people, sadly, in this day and age, who can't get a job because there's just no jobs out there. But you hear what my heart, what I'm saying, I believe that God put us on this earth to work. I believe that if we're so born idle, and read the book of Proverbs, by the way, if you don't believe me, read the book of Proverbs. It talks about somebody being a sloth. I believe that if we can work, then God, we should work and God will provide our daily provision. Am I forgiven? Forgive us this day, our trespasses, and forgive us those who... Come on, we know the Lord's Prayer. We've been through this. We're going through the Lord's Prayer now. These are the questions when you come to the end of your book, which Kate and I will do. This will be the very last thing, which will be a checklist. Am I hallowing God's name in my life? Am I having is he having his way with me? Am I diligent in my daily work if you have a work? Or is he just diligently in my work? Am I forgiving? Am I abhorring all that is evil and cleaving to that which is good? Remember that it says, forgive us this day, our trespass those who are against us, and keep us from evil. We don't want to fall into evil or temptation. Am I doing all that I can? Remember the spider and the cobwebs? Kill the spider, you kill the cobwebs. Run from temptation. Am I making it possible for God to answer my prayers to answer? Am I making it possible? Am I giving God every opportunity? to work and move in my life. Let me tell you the Lord's Prayer. We are finished now. Let me tell you the Lord's Prayer is not a prayer just for recital. There is more richness and depth in the Lord's Prayer than we can ever know or understand. God wants us to know that, listen, if we really are serious about praying, then perhaps we do need a helping hand. But this prayer is not just for recital. This prayer is a commitment to God that we are going to allow God to move and work in our lives. But we are going to be a channel for God to work through. We're going to holler His name. We're going to do our uttermost to resist temptation. We're going to do everything in our way to make sure that we live a life that pleases God. That we are going to do the most hardest thing possible. That's to forgive one another. And we are going to declare in faith and conviction that when I finish my prayer, God is able to do more than I dare abundantly think. Why? Because He has all the glory. He has all the power. Let's finish at 12:15 by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine the kingdom, power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.